The Tap.
93.5.
The Tap. 93.5. The Tap.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Three wildfires are still burning on Maui, and at least 67 people have died. Hawaii's attorney general is opening a probe into the decision-making in response. Thousands of residents have been displaced, and as CBS's Carter Evans reports...
At the airport, a chaotic scene as tourists desperately try to get home, many sleeping at the small airport until they can get a flight out. Some with cuts and bruises, each with their own harrowing story of survival. This family from California jumped in the water to escape the flames.
The ocean almost swept my kids away a few times. We stuck together. We held on. We're not going to die this way. No. And then we're here. We're alive.
A special counsel is appointed to the Hunter Biden case. It's Delaware U.S. Attorney David Weiss.
This appointment confirms my commitment to provide Mr. Weiss all the resources he requests.
Attorney General Merrick Garland said David Weiss himself asked for special counsel status after leading the criminal probe into the president's son since 2018.
The appointment of Mr. Weiss reinforces for the American people the department's commitment to both independence and accountability.
But the timing matters. 2 weeks ago, in a Delaware court, a plea deal for two misdemeanor tax charges and a felony gun offense fell apart over whether the president's son could avoid future criminal charges.
That's CBS's Catherine Herridge reporting. A federal judge says she will issue a protective order as requested by prosecutors that will set rules for what former President Trump can say publicly about the special counsel's case, charging him with attempting to overturn the 2020 presidential election results. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
The purpose of the order of protection is primarily to shield evidence from public view and to protect potential witnesses from intimidation not to testify. That seems to be where the judge is drawing a line. Anything President Trump says about potential witnesses, including his former vice president, could be prohibited if it sounds as if Mike Pence is being threatened. The full scope of what are sensitive materials, however, is not yet fully known.
Many residents in western Indiana are speaking out against plans for two underground carbon dioxide wells. Doug Scott worries about groundwater contamination and accidents that could release carbon dioxide into the atmosphere.
People are concerned that this is an experimental operation. There's not too many in the United States, and they're concerned for their family. They're concerned for their children. They're concerned for their environment.
Federal regulators say the wells should not have any significant environmental impact. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you...
And you could be me?
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way...
To get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy.
Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap.
I'm sorry, I'm really riled up this morning.
Why is that a thing? How can that be a thing?
Yeah, it shouldn't be a thing. Just what a... I want to swear. I want to swear so badly.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Who is responsible for keeping the Brewers in Wisconsin? 844-967-2789. If you've been following along with the months-long saga now of how are we going to pay for renovations for American Family Field to keep the Brewers past 2030. There was a bit of an update this morning. Molly Beck wrote an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that started like this. The Milwaukee Brewers could start looking for a new home this fall if state and local officials fail to reach agreements by the end by then on a taxpayer funded package to fund improvements to American Family Field required in the team's lease with the state. So it's a process that could lead them to boom towns of Charlotte, North Carolina, or Nashville, Tennessee. And the article goes on to talk about the deal that Evers had proposed in his budget proposal back in February. Talks about how Republicans in the legislature rejected that deal and have yet to introduce their own. They said at one point, Robin Voss said at one point that he was going to had a self-imposed deadline of July 4th. That is obviously gone. But they still have not. I have not read any proposals besides the fact that they want local governments to be involved in paying for it. So potentially bringing back the stadium sales tax and local officials. Not very interested in that. So where does the buck stop? Who is responsible for keeping the Brewers in Wisconsin? I would love to hear from you on this. 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. And we have a special guest. No, it is not Wednesday. It is indeed Friday. But I know someone very near and dear to this show who feels passionately about this. And so Greg Bach.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Do you have feelings?
Lots. So many feelings about this.
Who do you think's responsible for keeping the Brewers in Wisconsin?
The people who own the company.
The owners.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that the state and the city and, you know, I think that we do get money. You know, there are economic advantages to having a baseball team, but I think it's the team that should be coming to us with a deal that says this is what we're going to do. A split of, you know, 60, 40, 70, 30, however the split is, if you want to get super technical, but we will provide this much, you will provide this much because you get this much economic advantage from it. We will pay because this is our team and this is, you know, but that's not it. It is local governments. It is the governor. It is politicians running around scrambling saying, how do we do this? While the Brewers are sitting there with their pockets out going, we don't know what to do. Can you help us? Signed, billionaires. I think that the team is responsible for, if not the total upkeep, a portion of it.
But they don't own the building.
They don't own the building, but they reap the benefits of the building. So they do have a stake in this. It's not like they're like, well, we just show up. I mean the uniforms are washed when we get here. I mean, we don't know anybody. I don't even know the guy who mows the lawn. No, there is an economic impact and people benefit from it, but it shouldn't just be the taxpayers who pay for it all. We did that last time. Mm-hmm. We do it every time. Mm-hmm. I just saw a VR 3D rendering of the $2.1 billion Tennessee Titans stadium that's going to be built. Do you think the owners are going to pay a dime for that? No. It's going to come through tax money, through the state, through local government. And guess what? Not everyone likes football. Not everyone likes baseball. Mm-hmm. And I was telling Jane before the show started, when I wasn't a baseball fan a couple years ago, I didn't care anything about this. People were like, the stadium tax money, it's a penny. Who cares? Now that I am a baseball fan, I hate this so much because I feel like it's a slap in the face that they're just like, well, you got to fix it. You got to help us. It's not up to you guys to do it. So we'll just, and if you don't do it, by the way, guess what? If you don't do it, we're going to go to Charlotte.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, do they have the leverage and the power that they don't have to? Because yes, there are other places that they could go. I mean, because in the veiled threat or in the very real scenario that the A's are leaving Oakland and they're going to Vegas.
The case in point, the best point is right here in our backyard. The Bucks. The Bucks were like, if you don't give us money for the Burrito Pfizer Forum, it looks like a burrito to me, the Burrito Pfizer Forum, we're going to take our ball, literally, and go home. And we're going to go somewhere else. Said by a man whose son ran for office, and between the two are worth a lot of money. So to me, this...
Even more now, because he sold his stake.
To me, this whole thing of is crying wine, we need your help. And if you don't help us, we're not going to do anything. We're going to leave. I'm tired of it.
No, I know. But I'm saying, because in the alternative, though, if they have the upper hand, they being the owners,
yeah,
that they're like, if you don't fund this, we will leave.
Yeah.
Is it worth calling their bluff and have potentially having the team leave?
I don't think so, honestly, because I think they don't care at the end of the day.
Who is it responsible for staying here?
Well, we are by de facto then, but you're asking me the question, who is? I'm going to tell you it's either the team or a mixed of the two.
Okay.
What you're saying is, who needs to save it then? We have to, because we have no choice. If we want to keep it, Tony Evers doesn't want to be the governor who lost the Brewers on his watch. So we have no choice. So we're basically being blackmailed into this.
I know.
This is highway robbery. It's extortion. So to me, they don't care about the team. If they're like, oh, I guess we'll just change the colors of the team, change the name, change it to Nashville, I don't know, the Twangers or Guitar Pickers, and welcome baseball to Tennessee.
Spittoons.
The Spittoons, you know.
Oh, we're talking about who, we're asking the question,
who is
responsible for keeping the Brewers in Wisconsin? Would love to hear from you, 844-967-2789. We got Travis on the phone. Travis, who is responsible for keeping the Brewers in Wisconsin?
Well, hate to bring up a sports metaphor, but this should be a team effort.
Da-da-da!
In thinking the same way, the Brewers don't own the stadium.
Yep.
They lease that stadium. So when your furnace goes out at your rental home, do you put that new furnace in, or does your landlord put that new furnace in?
The landlord.
So, right. So the city or the stadium district is the landlord of the stadium. So they need to be partially responsible for whatever upgrades that stadium needs. That's my point here.
Okay. And that's fair. I think.
So then further than that, Travis, because that becomes, how do we fund it? And so then do you have thoughts on what Evers' plan was originally versus a pending Republican plan versus going back to, where are you located out of, Travis?
I live in Greenfield.
Greenfield. So you're Southeast Wisconsin. So would you be okay, like, bringing the stadium tax back?
I didn't notice that it left. So, yes.
There you go.
Right. We don't notice these things when they leave. We have them for a while, and everybody complains about them right up front, and then you forget that it's happening.
So your number one priority is that the Brewers stay, no matter, and you think that the government does play a role because they own the building.
Absolutely, the government plays a huge role, and the amount of money that we lose over the next 20 years if the Brewers aren't here is pennies compared to what it's going to take, what it's going to cost to get them to stay.
Good point. Thanks for the call, Travis.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, if you want to chime in, either text or phone. Karina from Milwaukee. Good morning, Karina.
Good morning. Well, I'm agreeing with the rental situation, but also I don't charge my own, the service guy who's coming to change my furnace for a ticket to get into my apartment either. So I've been charged for a ticket. I've been charged for taxes. I don't even go there, watch for it, and I cannot even tell myself saying, okay, fine, I don't have maybe kids, like some people don't do, but they do pay for schools, for all the municipal use, even though they don't use it, because it's a future generation. We need to educate kids. We need to make sure that we have a educated next generation. What good do I get from the Brewers? Nothing. I don't have an interest in this sport, neither in the building, neither in anything like that, but I'm forced to pay for it. Besides the point, only because I live in Milwaukee. The rest of the state, which are receiving the money from it and having a share from it as we know it, and we did talk about it, they do absolutely nothing. And when we need money in Milwaukee, they put more taxes on the people who live in Milwaukee.
So you're saying you don't think it should be paid locally through taxes and it should be a statewide funding, or that...
Yes.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. Yeah. So as far as like, it's a responsibility of the state, not for the region.
Which was mentioned in the article about David Crowley saying this should not come from the county, this should come from the state because it's state funding. But David Crowley also then said, well, we'll revisit it and we might help. Because now people are feeling the pressure.
Well, and also now the city is also getting a sales tax and there's more money to be gained from the city and the county by people going to Brewers games.
Yeah, I mean...
Thanks for the call, Karina.
I don't disagree. Honestly, I don't disagree with either one of them. I do think that there is a joint partnership that needs to happen. But once again, it can't just be the Brewers standing back going, we need your help. What are you willing to put into it with your money as owners, as executive, the whole thing, the organization of the Brewers that makes lots of money off of this? What do they put into it? Like, what is their financial stake?
I mean, this, I feel like this brings to a bigger conversation of just like the constant welfare we have from billionaires,
yeah,
and corporations.
They need help.
Yeah.
And that they, because they, it's also because they have leverage.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it's just the money that they are in a position to gain and not spend, that this is just another example of. But ultimately, I don't think anyone, no one wants to lose the Brewers. I don't think the Brewers want to leave. The government, obviously, as you said, Governor Evers doesn't want to be the governor who lost the Brewers. A lot of us, even for people who I think aren't necessarily huge, maybe not Karina, sports fans are like, there is a nostalgia there, right?
Yeah.
But like, who's gonna fall on the sword? Where is this going to come from?
We will.
All right. We're going to keep talking about this after the break. Who's responsible for keeping the Brewers in Wisconsin? 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
93.5 The Tap.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated evening storms, mostly clear overnight, low in the low 60s. Sunny, pleasant, and mid-80s tomorrow, more storms possible Sunday. Much cooler and breezy, high only low 70s. And still some showers Monday. Partly sunny and mid-70s, currently at 62 degrees.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
I'm fixing a home. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'll tell you what, I contrast Tanya Chutkin in D.C. to Eileen Mercedes Cannon, the Mar-a-Lago case down in Florida. She is doing everything in her power to stall for Trump, to stall the inevitable trial in this case. Because right now, it's theoretically possible, it should be possible, to try that case before the election also, before the November 24 election. In Washington, D.C., Jack Smith has asked for a trial date of January 2nd. And that's very, very reasonable. And Trump will complain and move to extend it. Tanya Chutkin doesn't put up with any baloney. They tried to extend the protective hearing order today, saying that it wasn't convenient for their lawyers. She said, too bad, and she held it. But let me give you some ways that Eileen Mercedes Cannon can serve Trump's interests, and the average layman who's not a lawyer won't realize it. Let me give you a couple of examples. One is, Jack Smith asked for permission to use evidence from a grand jury transcript of the grand jury in Washington, D.C. Now, the law is he absolutely has a right to do that. Many judges wouldn't even require a motion. They'd just say, we're going to have some testimony from this, or just file it under seal. She disclosed that there was a grand jury testimony in D.C. that was going to be pertinent to the Mar-a-Lago case. She's not supposed to even disclose that. It was filed under seal. She said, you can't file it under seal. What does that mean? Under seal means it's an envelope, says not to be opened without the written approval of the judge. If you just file it, it's a public document and the media has instant access to it. So she's saying you can't file it under seal. You can't file that request under seal. The second thing she then said was, why should I let evidence that was compiled before a Washington, D.C. grand jury? The implicit objection by Trump was really a racial objection. The grand jury in Washington, D.C. is going to reflect its population, whereas the grand jury in Florida, in Mar-a-Lago, would reflect a different demographic. And that's why, by the way, he tried to move the venue, the location of the Washington case, to West Virginia. You know what he said? He said it was a more diverse state. You know, this guy, these lawyers with a straight face, they say this stuff. Anyway, so I think Mercedes Cannon wants briefing on whether a grand jury testimony in another state or jurisdiction in a federal court can be used in her court. The guy who's last in his class in law school, who's never read a law book, could write that brief. She is delaying this by at least a month. Then she said none of the media can bring electronic devices into her court. Now, time out. There can't be photography of the court or tape recording. That is from the U.S. Supreme Court, and that's been the case for a long time. Okay. But when people go in there with cell phones, and this is the media, and they're told not to take pictures, not to tape it, but this way they can call in to their desks and immediately go out into the hallway and give an interview themselves. You've seen that all the time. You've seen court sketches in federal cases, and then you've seen the court reporter out in the hallway or outside on the steps of the courthouse doing a stand-up. She's trying to shut a lot of that down. Now, let me give you some other examples of how she could delay it. If I'm the prosecutor, if I'm Jack Smith, I would say, he claims that it was just innocent and inadvertent that he left this stuff lying around with the locks on it. We want to put in evidence that he has ex-employees, hundreds, Y guests, thousands, who are not screened, and we have reason to believe that China, Iran, and Russia got hold of this stuff because we had a spike in the executions, the sniffing out and executions of our undercover agents over there by the Chinese, the Russians, and the Iranians. She's the one who decides what's relevant. I suspect she would say, nah, that's too prejudicial, not relevant. Then they have to go up to the Court of Appeals. That takes months. Now, let me tell you the mother of all obstructions by her that she could do. She goes to a trial. Jack Smith puts on his case. Trump moves for what's called a directed verdict. He moves to have her a judgment of acquittal, saying that's insufficient evidence. If he's smart, or she's smart and wants to help him, she'd say, well, Mr. Trump, put on a few witnesses. He puts on a few witnesses, and before he's done, she stops and she says, I made a decision. There's not enough here. I rule that he's acquitted. If she does that, that is not appealable. If she does that, Trump is acquitted. The Court of Appeals can't overrule it. The U.S. Supreme Court can't overrule it. If she let it go to a jury verdict and the jury came back and convicted him, then the government can, and she tosses it out anyway, the government can appeal that. If it goes to a jury, the jury acquits him, even Jack Smith can't appeal it. I expect that she's going to find a way to enter a judgment of acquittal that can't be appealed. This is a charade. Jack Smith should never have filed it in Florida, should have filed it in D.C., but God bless him. He's doing a great job otherwise. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. I see you on the lines. You just came on. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. With 67 people now confirmed dead in western Maui, for surviving residents of the mostly destroyed historic city of Lahaina.
In this moment, we just look for everyone to be alive, to be safe. That's all we're trying to do.
He was stuck in a huge traffic jam trying to get back home to see what was left of it. The Trump-era prosecutor investigating current President Biden's son, Hunter, is now a special counsel with added powers of investigation and prosecution. CBS's Catherine Herridge.
An IRS whistleblower recently told CBS News the evidence supported more serious felony tax charges.
And the federal judge presiding over the election interference criminal case against ex-President Trump issues a ruling on what Trump can and cannot say about it, which is more than what prosecutors had wanted.
Even though the Trump team has claimed that she cannot be fair to them, on this initial ruling, she's actually going a bit more in favor of the Trump team.
Legal analyst Lori Levinson, CBS News Brief. I'm Tom Foti.
It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break. So we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag Civic Pints. Give blood and you could get a prize too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, yeah. StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
When you want something so badly, what you're able to justify and rationalize and get over. So I would say there's not a non-zero chance.
But what record would she run on? Foxconn?
I mean, what did she run on for governor? Probably the same thing.
I just remember her warning about people will be marrying coffee tables once gay marriage is allowed. So I'd like her to run just so I can ask her how many of those weddings she's been to.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Fig Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Is at one.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Bob of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Bob?
Well, I've got two thoughts. Mainly, how do you hold Trump accountable for all the violence coming out and everything? We've seen under Trump, we saw gun deaths double. It had been a steady curve all up to about 2015, and then all of a sudden it starts jumping up, the statistics. And just this last 2 years, counting this year, last year, they've doubled the mass murderers going out there. And when they check these guys out, they got a lot of Trump thinking language, whatever, maybe even using the same words and so forth in a lot of stuff. Can you tie these things to Trump? Is there a way to hold him accountable for all the violence he's created in our society?
Yeah, excellent, excellent question. And the answer is, yeah, in two respects. One, holding him personally responsible when there's a crime committed is very difficult unless there's a greater link than just his shooting his mouth off in general. But the second one is politically. And everybody out there who is a Republican or he's an independent and so forth. Listen to what Bob just said. At some point, you've got to eradicate violence from your party. It didn't exist before this. In fact, your party was on the side of right back in 1861 with Abraham Lincoln. Get violence out of your party. And, you know, Bob, I want to build on that. Yes, a lot of these people say Trump things. Some of them have Trump stickers. But Trump has also been adopting QAnon language. There's certain code words that QAnon uses, like the storm. The storm is coming. Or, you know, there's some kind of an acronym with about eight letters in it that, you know, we stand one and all together, that kind of thing. And he says that. One of the things that really concerns me is the rise of racial violence in this society right now because of Trump. And I'll give you two examples. One was down in El Paso. The guy that went into that and killed many, many Latinos, I think it was a Walmart, drove from Fort Worth to El Paso, which is apparently about 12 hours. Apparently, it's a heck of a long drive. And he deliberately wanted to go to a Walmart where there would be a lot of minorities. He said that. Number two, Birmingham, Alabama, just the other day. This black guy who worked for this for the pier, for the boating line, whatever it is, saw a boat pull in to a dock that it wasn't authorized and another boat coming in. So they tried to contact the owners of the usurping boat. They couldn't do it. So he started to untether it so he could, I guess, move it or tow it down somewhere so the other bigger boat could come in. And he was set on and beaten. He was a black guy by all these white guys, and they were fairly brutal looking guys. Then what happened is there were some passengers on the other boat who were African-American, and they jumped in to defend him. And it was a racial brawl. Now, the police down there have not charged that so far as a hate crime. This misdemeanor assault, and I'm not going to second guess them on that one because it was obviously just over the boat thing. But a statistic that blew me away was when you talked about racial hate crimes up until 3 years ago, I think it was 18, 19, 20, there were zero such hate crimes in Birmingham, Alabama, zero. This year, there are hundreds. And I'm saying this one has not been charged as a hate crime, although it had racial overtones. But think about that. What is it that has changed in 3 years? And Trump's presidency seeped in, lying about attacking our democracy and about our elections, and this relentless, relentless, sneaky code language attacks on minorities. Trump has fostered racial violence. And that, to me, it's not only immoral, it's not only wrong, it's very dangerous. He is dividing society in a way, not just Republican and Democratic, but, you know, when he was talking about the grand jury and the prosecution in Washington, D.C., he went on and on about how filthy he thought Washington, D.C. was, and it was all racially disguised. And he was lying. It's not filthy at all. Washington, D.C. is a great town. Go there on vacation. I've been there many times. It's a beautiful place. It really is a beautiful place. And the people there are beautiful. And he is simply mouthing stereotypes to incite violence. Thanks for calling, Bob. I want to get to the fake electors. Judge Frank Remington in Dane County, very, very fine judge. I had his grandfather. I think it was his grandfather. Frank Remington Sr. for criminal law when I was in law school. Frank Remington, the senior, the elder, was one of the premier criminal law professors in the country. He was also UW Madison's representative of the Big Ten. He's a magnificent, magnificent teacher. I learned a lot from him. Anyway, his grandson, Frank Remington, just ruled that the civil case against the fake electors for $2.4 million can proceed to trial. The fake electors had brought a motion, said that the plaintiffs, I suppose they said, had no standing, that they couldn't bring this thing. Who were the plaintiffs? The plaintiffs were two Democratic electors. In other words, real electors plus a voter. And they want $2.4 million for the fraud. Frank Remington said that can go forward. Prior to that, one of the things they said, fake electors said, well, the Wisconsin Election Commission looked at this and said there's nothing there. Frank Remington said, yeah, one of them was Bob Spindell. He's a fake elector. One of the fake electors ruled that he hadn't done anything wrong. Okay. Well, Jeffrey Dahmer is, you know, he chop a guy's head off and stick it in the refrigerator. I didn't do anything wrong. What the hell? You know, you don't have the guy who did it opining on whether he did anything wrong. You don't have the guy who did it opining on whether he did anything wrong. But there's a subtext to this that really bothers me. Why is this only a civil case? Why are we not prosecuting the fake electors? The attorney general in Michigan prosecuted the fake electors, and she had more of them than we do. And they've just pled not guilty. They're right in the middle of the rock and roll. Fannie Willis in Fulton County in Atlanta is about to prosecute the fake electors, and she's only a district attorney. She would be like the equivalent of the DA of Milwaukee or Dane County doing it. DA of Dane County could do it, but he ain't going to do it. This has to be our attorney general, Josh Call. Good guy. I know Josh, know his family. Fine guy. But for whatever reason, he has said that he is relying on the feds to do this. And then he says, well, I can't confirm or deny that I wouldn't open an investigation. Well, you know, there's no investigation open right now. To say that I'm not going to confirm or deny if I would do it, okay. But this is August. The debate is in August. The first selection of delegates, Iowa caucuses and others, is January. The convention for the Republicans is in July of next year. That's only 11 months away. And if they pick Trump, so when are you going to go after the fake electors? Josh has brought some other cases and so forth, and there's the impression of activity, but it's not getting done. And there is no excuse to not prosecute them in Wisconsin when they are being prosecuted in Michigan. Michigan and Wisconsin are very similar, really quite similar, not just culturally, but in our laws. And I think we've got to prosecute them. Tony Evers, the governor, came out last week and said he agreed with that. So let's get going here, guys. We're going to the lines. Jack of Merrimack, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Jack?
You're hitting on it. You know, the Republican Party has not advocated the prosecution. They've not advocated incarceration. They've not advocated investigating. They've not even disavowed this scheme. And in fact, they barely, if anyone's mentioned it, I haven't heard about it. Anyone that votes for a Republican, how can you possibly trust someone who won't even mention the fact that there were 84 people in their party that were involved in a clear conspiracy, because it only takes two, not 84, to overturn the government of the United States? I mean, this is just an outrage. I'm pretty disgusted with Josh Call. Yes, I voted for him. Not only was he still continues to be better than the other choice would have ever been, but he's got to get with it and do something about it. If he doesn't do it, the DA for Dane County should do it. Or, hey, all these guys, including, by the way, Senator Johnson, who admitted being part of this, I bet Johnson will be at that Milwaukee forum. They ought to prepare a whole bunch of arrest warrants and just arrest all these guys when they come for that convention. I think that would be a real good idea.
Excellent call. Excellent call. Thank you very much, Jack. Listen, Jack Schmidt, the federal prosecutor, can't possibly add 84 defendants to the Trump case. What are you kidding me? That would blow it up entirely. He's relying on the state attorneys general. Let's get going. Stephanie of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Stephanie. What's in your mind today?
Hey, another issue that just came up. What is a special counsel on Hunter Biden set up by Merrick Garland? To me, I don't know what that's all about. It seems like a waste of time, or, you know, just taking Hunter and dragging him through the mud to get it at his dad. It's just it's just a total waste. And with that, I'm going to hang up and let you respond, okay?
Yeah, Stephanie, that's a great question. And just so everybody knows, Merrick Garland announced today that he was elevating this fellow Weiss, who's the U.S. attorney in Delaware, from U.S. attorney to special counsel. What does that mean? It means that it's very much harder to fire him, but Biden and Garland aren't firing anybody. I think basically it is a way of simply showing that Weiss was independent all along. I'm not as upset about it as a lot of people in the Democratic Party. They nailed Hunter Biden on two things. Now, remember something. They're the party that showed naked pictures of him, frontally naked pictures, that he was having relations with this woman, and somehow they must have photographed each other and it got leaked. Why do you put naked pictures of a guy, you know, to a committee? It had nothing to do with anything. They're trying to take the heat off of Jared Kushner and Trump. Okay. I believe that Hunter Biden should be investigated. They got him on two things, taxes and guns. The gun thing is because he's an addict. And he didn't disclose he was a drug addict and he shouldn't have had a gun. A court of appeals just issued a decision saying that's unconstitutional, another case. They said drug addicts can have guns. Now, frankly, I don't agree with the court of appeals. But if they're saying drug addicts can have guns, then why should Hunter Biden face a gun charge? That should be dismissed, even though I think ultimately drug addicts shouldn't have guns. The second thing, taxes. He had two $100,000 tax obligations in 2 years that he paid late. Roger Stone had several million. It is customary at that level to do that civilly. In other words, penalties, interest, and all that. They're going after Hunter Biden because he's the president's son. That's fine. All the special counsel thing now is, okay, we're going to open up and look at everything. That's fine. The fees he got for these companies he was involved in were not criminal. Joe Biden didn't get any of that. Donald Trump has gotten plenty of money from Russia and Saudi Arabia, and so has Jared Kushner. So sit back, and I'm not concerned about it. I think it elevates the status of the guy who's doing it anyway. I think he's an honest guy. And what I just said, I think, will ultimately be the judgment of the special counsel. We're going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
When I was young, they just gave me the number when I was young.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Because I joined last night and I'm hopeful.
Wow.
I'm hopeful that it is more fun than Twitter has been lately, because Twitter has not been that fun lately.
I do wish it weren't those two.
I know. It's a weird thing to be cheering for Mark Zuckerberg
right now.
I'm choosing
between the Joker and the Penguin. This is not a winning solution.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattenaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated evening storms, mostly clear overnight, low in the low 60s. Sunny, pleasant, and mid-80s tomorrow, more storms possible Sunday. Much cooler and breezy, high only low 70s. And still some showers Monday. Partly sunny and mid-70s, currently at 62 degrees.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Don't let me down. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to talk very briefly about DeSantis. I can't believe this guy. Some new information has come out of Florida, new information about what he's doing to education down there. And I'm not talking now, there are all these disputes about the Don't Say Gay law and this, that, and the other thing. I'm talking about how he has, this guy is politically tone deaf, how he has essentially tried to take over the instruction of kids in grade school and high school. And I'm going to give you two examples. One of them is now they're being shown videos in a lot of their schools that denies climate science. That is clearly, in my view, at the impetus of some of the donors, especially in the energy industry. Why are you manipulating school curricula over that kind of an issue? Why aren't you encouraging kids, say, to be geologists, biologists, and let them look at science and make up their own minds? But why are you putting a political video out? The second one that really blew me away, and I'm indebted to Joy Reid on MSNBC for showing this thing. If any of you saw it, you know, it goes like this. And it's a right-wing guy who calls himself something university, whatever his name is. And he had these videos made, and this has to do with slavery. And what they have is, they have two adorable cartoon kids. Let's say, you know, Julie and Ken. I mean, I forget their names, but adorable little kids, grade school kids. And they travel back through time to interview famous people. I couldn't believe the one I saw. They interview Christopher Columbus. And he's a cartoon guy, too, on a ship. He has blue eyes, big flashing blue eyes. And he goes to them, well, kids, people say slavery is bad. Well, it's always existed. And I'll tell you, kids, it's a lot better being a slave than being killed. That's what it's. And I'm thinking, you know, it makes it sound like slavery was kind of a gentle indentured servitude where you're sort of an apprentice. You train to be a baker or you train to be something. You learn a skill and everybody loves it. I could not believe it. And there's nothing in there about the way slaves were treated, including right up until 1865. They were beaten and whipped. They were raped. They were sometimes raped in front of their husbands. Their children were sold away from him. Or a guy's wife could be sold away from him. He had to stand there and watch her being driven down the road, never to see her again. That's what slavery is. What the hell are they doing in Florida showing a video of two cartoon kids smiling and a smiling Christopher Columbus saying, well, kids, there's a lot worse than slavery. Being killed is a lot worse than slavery. I think, you know, DeSantis at one point, I thought, really had a shot, at least getting the nomination away from Trump. He was a moderate at one time. He was an associate of Paul Ryan's. They were allies. Paul Ryan, I disagree with him on a lot of things, but he's a moderate. DeSantis somehow, like a bull in a china shop, just goes, well, I've got to go the other way. And he has no judgment at all. He goes so far that people look on him as grotesque, kind of a Frankenstein. I mean, let's be blunt. I think there should be age-appropriate materials in schools. Do I think that the writings of the Marquis de Sade should be available in a grade school or high school library? No. His novel Justine? No. Do I think that virulently propaganda, anti-Semitic, nativist, racial tracts should be available in grade school and high school libraries? No, of course not. It has to be age-appropriate. In college and in grad school, or in public libraries in general, you have whatever you want. It's not a violation of the First Amendment to say the kids in grade school should not have the writings of the Marquis de Sade. That said, what these characters are doing is totally turning the curriculum in grade schools and high schools slowly into propaganda on science, on slavery. I mean, you know, what, DeSantis, what are you doing? You could easily make the argument that I'm making, that things should be age appropriate without doing this crazy stuff. People will not vote for a crazy man. Not for president. Although, as I say it, they did in 2016, very sadly. Going to the lines, Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind, Wisco Paul?
Just quickly here, Matt, talking about DeSantis. I think he was aiming his comments and what he's doing in Florida towards the Iowa voter. The last thing he done here, that's off the deep end there with the slavery thing. But I really think he was trying to go after the Iowa voter and win the Iowa primary. I don't want him president, but I'm thinking that's what he might be trying to do. So thanks, Matt. Bye.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I think that all of this is politically calculated. All of it's politically motivated. And doing stuff like saying there's a 6-week limit on abortion. What about women who have life-threatening conditions, have an ectopic pregnancy, have sepsis? Even in Mississippi, for Pete's sake, there's 15 weeks. Nobody likes abortion. I don't want abortion. But if you consign women to pre-Roe butchery when their health and life is at stake, that's not right. That is unconstitutional itself. That's unconstitutional itself. This guy has absolutely no judgment. He appeared at a rally. He, by the way, fired his campaign manager a couple of days ago, put in a new one, his chief of staff, who's never managed a campaign in his life. And he gets up in front of a crowd. He gets up in front of a crowd in Iowa the other day, and the whole crowd shouts, putting fingers, because he apparently eats pudding with his fingers. So they say, I don't know if he eats it or not. But, I mean, the point is, he shows up at one point in white go-go boots. I don't know, you remember that? I mean, you know, hey, look, guy, you're running for president. He immediately trashes Ukraine just because Trump trashed Ukraine. He follows Trump trying to be more extreme. People who don't want Trump don't want that either. I cannot believe the stupidity in the Republican Party right now. We're coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great callers, as always. Everybody out there, have a good weekend. And by the way, I want to thank you all very much. The sales of my two novels, China Code and Milwaukee Jihad, have really soared with your backing. And you'll see a lot of them. China Code, Milwaukee Jihad, a lot of the history that I talk about in an action-packed, I think, thriller and easy to read. You'll enjoy it very much. Stand by for a great show. Diamond Crute, Devil's Advocate, Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back same time, same place on Monday.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Donald J. Trump has now been indicted for a third time. The purpose of the conspiracy was to overturn the legitimate results of the 2020 presidential election by using knowingly false claims of election fraud. The defendant enlisted co-conspirators to assist him in his criminal efforts. Jim Troupas, Ron Johnson, they're coming for you. Giuliani, Sidney Powell, Jeffrey Clark, yeah, you as well.
Weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS.